Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, and thanks for joining me today. Today, we got a really exciting show. I've got Jeremy Page. Jeremy's a real estate agent, and he's the assistant manager of the Carpenter office in Zionsville, Indiana. Jeremy, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick.
Could you give people just a little background on yourself? Let them know a little about you.
Yeah, so I've been doing real estate now for about 14 years, been in management about six. I've been blessed. I've been really successful and really just take a focus on the client. I was just meeting with one of my clients yesterday, and I was kind of joking around and said, hey, I don't really care about the house that much. It's part of my job, but I care about the people. And the people that care about the house, that's what makes me care about the house.
that's good. And, you know, I can tell you I've worked with Jeremy for quite some time, and every customer that you work with loves you. You do a phenomenal job. You know your business. You've got all the connections. I think a lot of things, like if somebody's listing a home, I think one of the biggest things about listing a home from all the years I've been in the business is that you have to have the relationships out there with the other agents, because your job is not to physically walk somebody in. I mean, that's great if you can walk somebody in and sell the house. But a lot of most of your job is marketing that house.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, we are here in Indiana allowed to do what's called dual agency, where you represent the buyer and the seller, with certain rules you have to stick to with that. But you're absolutely right. Most transactions are done with a co-oping broker. And so a lot of my good connections with a lot of the top agents in the Indianapolis area, or I should say the greater Indianapolis area, has really helped out in the past. I work hard to be easy to work with, and everybody likes to work with someone that's easy to work with.
That's right, and is knowledgeable and understands the business. And I think, if I remember correctly, you have a marketing degree.
Yes, sir. Yes. I went to Cedarville University in Ohio, actually, and I got a small business management and marketing degree.
Okay. So you're trained in that now you have years of experience in it, which the college is great, but it's nothing like having that then to back it up with the years of experience makes a huge difference and really helps.
Absolutely.
Now, on the market, I think one of the biggest things I wanted to talk to you about today is the market. What is going on in the housing market in Indiana right now?
Craziness.
Is it?
Craziness. Awesome. Good crazy. Good
yeah,
crazy.
Great.
So, with the whole coronavirus, obviously it affected a lot of businesses, a lot of the economy. We saw the market go down about 50% year over year between mid-March to mid-April, which, that's a big drop,
yes.
Drop. But, in this last month, we've kind of returned back to what we would call normal. The last 4 weeks, the sales have been about 96% of what they were the same 4 weeks of 2019 or last year.
Wow.
2019 was a record year for home sales in the MIBOR area or the Indianapolis area. So we're actually projecting that we will break even or supersede the sales last year, which, having taken out a couple months of coronavirus and a stay-at-home order and all that, it's actually really amazing. It speaks to the resilience of the local Indianapolis real estate market. Values have continued to improve. Median home sales price is up 12.3% April 2020 versus April 2019. It's up to $210,000 for the median sales price. Things are selling pretty quick. Things are getting on average of 98% to 99% of list price. We are hurting for inventory.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
That is the problem. And so, Rick, I'm sure you're pre-approving a lot of people, and you know, what I hate about it is there's a lot of buyers that are getting their heart broke. You know, they need to work with a good agent that can really support them and give them the best advice as they move forward. Because a lot of these properties, you know, especially if it's under that, you know, 210,000 price range, they're flying off the market. And most times it's multiple offers. I listed a house yesterday that was priced a little bit over that. We ended up with, I think, 20 showings scheduled in the first day. We had three offers before the seller, you know, finally said, hey, let's work with one of these and move forward.
Wow. So. That's just incredible.
Yeah.
Just incredible. Now I was reading on the increase in price, Indiana's actually in the top 10 states. Our prices, which to me is really unique because I've been in real estate a long time, in mortgages or in new home sales, over 30 years. And I have never seen a time when Indiana was in the top 10 in home appreciation.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, the old Indiana real estate, you know, the way it used to be was we would see a very small, maybe a 1-2% increase in value year over year. Since the 2008 downturn and once we started recovering from that, we've really seen some great appreciation. The good news is we're not like some of the other states like California where, you know, you buy a house for, you know, $100,000 today and it's worth $200,000 the next day and then it's worth $120,000 the next day and then it's worth $40,000. I mean, we're not bouncing around like that.
Right.
We've seen slow, steady increases, but we've been hitting numbers that we probably would have argued with you if you would have told us we would see that kind of appreciation if you would have told us that back in 2005.
Oh yeah, I'd have told everybody they're crazy.
Right.
Right. Who would have thought we'd be at what'd you say, 12%?
Yeah, 12.3%.
12.3%.
The median sales
price. That's just that is insane in our market. Yeah. That is phenomenal. So it sounds like that 210,000 and below is a hot market.
Yes. And higher. I mean, depends on the market you're in. Some markets it's 300,000 and under. Some markets it's 150,000 and under.
Yeah, because it seems to me, and you're in it every day. I'm in the mortgage piece of it, but I talk my customers who are getting pre-approved. It just seems like until you get over like into the $500,000-$600,000 range, there seems to be even in the upper, not as big a lack of inventory as your lower end.
Right.
But in that upper end, there seems to be a you know, even up into that $400,000-$500,000 range. Now you get 6-7. I know there's a more inventory, but I also notice I've had like three or four customers recently buy in that range, and it was a competitive market with the house they bought.
Yeah, absolutely. Even million plus homes, the ones that really shine, there's buyers out there for them, and there's just a lack of inventory. You know, it's definitely a seller's market. It's been a seller's market. You know, this year, you know, we're down over 3,500 listings that we had this time in May last year. So
okay.
That's a lot of homes.
Yeah, that is a lot of homes.
That's a significant number of homes that are not on the market now. So it kind of fuels a feeding frenzy, for lack of better terms. But there is still great opportunity out there for buyers. You know, you just have to. You need to get a hold of a good lender like Rick and get a pre-approval and be ready to make a move when the opportunity presents itself. You need to work with a good, solid agent that knows what's going on in the market and that is able to, you know, advise you on the best way to move forward once you do find that house.
Right. And speaking of a good, solid agent, could you give them your contact information so they can get a hold of you if somebody's in the market either to buy or sell a home?
Absolutely. I accidentally let them into that one. I'm proud of myself. I'm Jeremy Page, Carpenter Realtors. Cell phone is 317-413-5311. And my email is jpage, P-A-G-E, at callcarpenter.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, awesome. Now, I was reading something actually before I came in today, and it said that the expectation is that the spring market is going to move into the summer. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
I think that's exactly right, because you know I had mentioned we were down 50% mid-March to mid-April, which is some of the busiest time of a real estate you know market typically, and that when you're down 50%, those people, some of them went away, but not near 50%. Not very many, really, probably went away. And so now they're just now starting to act. It was kind of funny, you know, it seemed like the buyers were always okay with going out and, you know, finding a house they like and buying it. The problem was the sellers. You know, I mentioned how far we're down in homes that are available to buy. But a lot of the sellers, even if they were okay going and looking at someone else's house as a buyer, they didn't necessarily want people coming through their house during the coronavirus, which I understand, you know, right. And we're here to respect, you know, people's comfort level. But now I feel like they're starting to get a lot more comfortable with that. Things are coming on the market. I do think that we are going to have an incredibly busy summertime. I think that we're probably going to have the busiest summer we've seen in a long time, if not ever.
Well, you know, rates are supporting a strong market.
Absolutely.
Rates are phenomenal. And unfortunately, you know, we can't talk about exact rates,
right.
But it is the rates are at levels basically never seen before.
Right.
And it is amazing. You know, a good solid buyer's what they can qualify for, what they can, you know, what the rate they can get. So it is going to be, I agree with you 100%. Everything I read is pointing that it's going to be a huge market. I was also reading about the birth rates. This was very interesting to me. When you look at the birth rates 33 years ago, if you look back 33 years, I guess that's when people start to get into the market for a house, 30 to 33 years. Now, some earlier, some later, right. But that's, I guess, approximately. You look at, and you look at like the 2008 downturn. Mm-hmm. It correlates with a downturn in the birth rates 33 years ago.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so when you, and then if you look at it all along history, it actually equates to, as birth rate changed 33 years later, the market changed based on the birth rate. And guess what? Birth rates were up 33 years ago.
Wow. There's statistics for everything.
There are statistics, but I just thought that was really interesting, which is, it supports what we're talking about. The market's there. There's there's a lot of pent up demand because there's a lot of people who have been sitting at home. They aren't going out looking homes, or there's no houses on the market. So when those houses come on the market and it sounds like the people are back, it's the houses that aren't on the market yet.
Right. And I'll tell you, I will help represent quite a few people who are building new homes, and the builders are telling us basically they can't build fast enough to keep up with the demand. So, and you may drive around whatever area you're in and think, oh, there's a neighborhood there, they're everywhere. But the real world is they aren't even able to keep up with the demand.
Yeah, I hear a lot about the builders. In fact, after the break, we'll touch on that a little bit more and get more onto the housing market here in Indiana.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Yeah, Jeremy, before the break, we were talking about the builders, and I guess I've been doing a lot of reading lately.
Okay. Hey, that's a good thing.
Yeah, because I was looking into the statistics on building, and you know, you said there's not enough inventory, and that is across the board, across the U.S. They aren't building anywhere near the houses to keep up with the demand. So resales are very, very strong. You know, the demand for construction is strong, but it's not. But they can't build enough. I believe some of the things, like they lost a lot of trades through, you know, after 2008, and people got out of the industry, and it hasn't been that busy, and now all of a sudden it's booming, but they don't have the trades, they don't have the people there to build the houses. There was a lot of stuff, materials. There were a lot of reasons, land that they aren't building to the volume,
right.
Which, you know, for it's great to have we need the new houses to help that demand, but the resales, you know, for me, the resales are the big deal, because right. Builders, for the most part, you don't get a builder, they do the loan, you know. So for me, I like the resales out there.
Right.
And I think there's some real good reasons. I spent 12 years with a new home builder, so I right. understand the building
yeah.
process. And but I do think there's some big, good, solid reasons to buy in a new community. And then, you know, I mentioned this every time, but, you know, we're talking about that low end the lower end product, you know, that, and really in Indiana, still 200,000 is a nice house.
Right.
And I see what I'm going to talk about. You see houses at $500,000, $1 million that need rehab.
Right.
But it's a way, to me, it seems like it's a way, a rehab loan would be a great way to increase your inventory. Because is it the houses that need work that are still sitting?
Oftentimes, yes.
And so if that's the case, the rehab loans, although many, many lenders have gotten away from it, they aren't doing it through this. They all left. We're still heavily into it. But it seems like to me that is a great way to increase an inventory and give people more opportunity. If you can find a house they like, the basic house in the right neighborhood and all that, but then they can come in, do a rehab loan, redo the home, redo the kitchen, you know, whatever they want to do. Put in, I know one of the statistics I saw was that like one of the biggest things people are doing right now with rehab loans is yardscape.
Okay.
Which I never would have thought.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah. So that just seems like a great way to increase the inventory. But do you see the inventory? Is it starting to naturally increase by people? It sounded like, I knew you told me you had 8 listings yesterday.
Yeah. In the last week or two, I've put up 8
listings. Okay, 8 listings. So,
yeah, the market, more is coming on the market, but they're all still getting snatched up really quick. So the inventory level or the active homes on the market is not going up or necessarily improving right now. If you're thinking about selling, there may be no better time than now if you're ready for a move. And I tell my people that all the time. They always, well, when should I put my house on the market? The real world is put your house on the market when it's best for you.
Right.
You know, when you're ready. But outside of that, you know, the values are up, they're going up, the inventory is low. So it's a good opportunity to, you know, get your house on the market now and catch all the buyers that, you know, some of the buyers that would have come in during the March, April timeframe that did not are now hitting the market. So you have the increased buyer pool now in addition to the lack of inventory. So it really helps you out.
Okay.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
You know, this one, I met with a couple the other day, Karen and Bob. And when I met with them, at first, they're first-time home buyers.
They've
never owned a house before.
I love first-time home buyers.
I do, too.
They're excited.
They're excited. They have a lot of great questions.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny, though, because they feel bad because they don't know very much. But really, their questions are most. I mean, they always have great questions, and they challenge you to be able to explain things
right.
in a way that which helps me immensely, because that's one of the things I pride myself in. I really try to be able to explain things, complicated processes, and make them as simple as I possibly can. And usually I do a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I always encourage people. I tell them, ask me as many questions as you want, because I want to make sure that they understand everything. I mean, it's a big decision, but it should be an exciting time for most people.
Absolutely. So. And this couple was looking at the possibility of renting or buying. Now, they said, you know, they thought buying would be a better opportunity, but they were, you know, it's should we buy, should we rent? You know, which do you think is going to be better for us? And their plan was if they did buy, they would be in the house for 5 years. And I doubt that they didn't think they would rent that long. They just needed to, you know, if they did rent, they just probably a year, maybe 2 years, just depended. But they really wanted to buy a home. And so I thought, I've got some information, but I thought maybe what advice do you give somebody looking to whether they should rent or purchase?
Yeah. And that is definitely a case by case scenario, but, the rental values or the rental prices have gone, they're really high right now, which I own a couple of rental properties, so I'm thankful on that side.
Right.
But it oftentimes does make buying a home, especially your first home, an affordable home, something that you could turn into your own home versus an apartment or a rental house. But outside of the emotional side and the benefit, there's typically a financial benefit to buying versus renting. Obviously, if they said they were going to be there for a year, it probably doesn't make sense. You know,
right.
2 years probably doesn't make sense. But it just depends. You know, some people say, hey, I've got Fluffy, my dog that I love, and, you know, no one else will let me rent a house. And I can tell you the rental market is pretty there's a lack of good rentals out there as well for rental houses. Cause I hear lots of stories or, you know, I see once mine become available, you know, I see the laundry list of people who are trying to get in. So, you have a dog and you want to be able to keep your dog and live with it. And, you know, hey, if you buy a house, you own it. You know, you want to paint the walls pink, you can paint them pink, or you want to paint it the most modern color, you can paint it the most modern color.
You can paint it pink until Jeremy comes in when he's trying to sell it and tells you to repaint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. That's what happens.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, with that, I think that, it's been a long time since I rented, but I do remember we would drive around looking at houses just because we could not wait to get out of that rental. Now, we didn't rent a house. We rented apartments. One was a double.
Right.
But the noise and all that and the difference in type of neighborhood and everything, we just couldn't wait to get there and be able to move into a house. I ran some scenario for it's a rent versus buy.
Okay.
And I think it's I won't go through the whole thing, but I'll give you kind of the basics. In this scenario, the principal, and I'm using a $250,000 home.
Okay.
I'm using a very, very normal 30-year fixed rate for today, which is lower than what you would normally see. I'm using a 3% annual rental increase, which seems reasonable. It may be a little high, maybe a little low, but it seems reasonable. And, you know, the other thing to think about is what you said. You know, it may not make sense to rent for a year, but when prices are increasing 12%, it might.
Yeah.
You know, 12% on a $250,000 house, that's a pretty significant increase.
It
that's
is.
Enough to pay you.
It is. But I will tell you, if I was doing it for a year, I would not.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't gamble on that 12% again. We've seen crazy appreciation for many years, you know, quite a few years in the past. But, you know, and some different people have different thresholds for that kind of stuff. So that's why I say it's case by case. I talk through it. Some people say, hey, I don't care.
They're going to rent it when they're done or whatever it is. Yeah. So anyway, in this scenario, when you look at the monthly payment on a house would be just under $1,500 a month. The monthly payment on the rent, when you use what in that price range, what I could find was the rent. I use $1,730 a month in rent. And that would be renting approximately the same value of house.
Mm-hmm.
And then $26 a month for the insurance, because you have to have renter's insurance. So the payment is $1,756. So the payment on the rental is actually higher than the payment on the purchase.
Right.
The thing that people have to remember is not only do you get the appreciation on the home.
Mm-hmm.
So if the home, let's say it's not appreciated at 12%, let's say it's appreciated at 4%.
Yeah.
You're appreciating at 4%. Additionally, part of that payment is going towards principal.
Correct.
So you're paying your house down. So in this scenario, over a 10-year period, the net gain by buying a home was $73,000.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be in that house, I think in 5 years it was seven. In 5 years, let me get to 5 years. It was 30. I'm going to say $35,000.
Something significant.
Significant number. Yeah.
Yep.
Then you're better off.
And so, most of the time, if people are going to be here any length of time, then it is wise to buy a house. You know, I've talked with several people. I'm helping one client right now build a house, and they're going to be here for probably 3-4 years. And it makes sense. You know, it makes sense because of what you said. You know, not only the increase in the value, but when you rent, you just hand over that money and you don't ever get it back.
Right.
When you're owning something and you're buying the home, then some of that money you hand out every month comes back to you
right.
with equity in your home.
Yep. And I was reading a study, reading again. I'm gonna get in trouble. I better stop reading. A study on home ownership. People who live in a home are happier and healthier than people who rent.
Yes, I've heard that same statistic.
Yeah. I mean, so that's, you know, and it makes sense because
a sense of belonging.
It's sense of a belonging. You're part of the community. There's so many things that it does. You feel, I think that buying a home is in the right situation. I agree with you. Short term, if you're in there, if you're going to be short term, it doesn't make sense unless you're going to turn it into a rental.
Yeah.
But if you're not, then it just doesn't make sense because you know, then you have to get, you have to sell it. You have those expenses, you know, there's just so much to it. And maybe in California, when, you know, those days, those times when it's increasing at 30% a year.
Yeah, but remember, California also increases at 30% a year and then drops 80% or something the next year. So
Yeah, and you got to be careful there.
And those aren't actual stats. I just made that up, you know, but they do see kind of the roller coaster.
I thought you were reading and you read
No. That's all made up.
So as we look at the market, so we've looked at like what it's been, where are we looking at this summer? How about over the next rest of this year, maybe through the election, a little past the election, maybe early into next year? What are you seeing?
I think it's going to continue to be strong the entire year. I think we're going to finish out the year. I would not be surprised if we don't set another record for sales this year.
I would think that is absolutely going to happen. Mm-hmm. I know that and you are.
Yeah, and I know that you as a lender has been swamped because not only are you doing all of the stuff we're doing, but you're also doing a lot of refinances too.
Right.
So I know you guys have been really busy. And then, you know, the new government rules and regulations that they decided to throw on the different products as well that, you know, add a little bit of time. And
yeah, you know, and that's kind of the big thing for us on the lending side. You know, purchases always come first,
right?
Because a refinance, although nobody likes it, but a refinance, they're in their house,
right?
You know, so if it takes 45 days to close a loan, 50 days to close a loan, it's not the end of the world.
They're not going to end up homeless.
They're not going to end up homeless. You just have to take your time. Purchases, they have a drop dead date. You have to close at this point in time. And if you don't close at this point in time, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And so we do everything we can. And sometimes right now in this environment, getting to that 30-day close is a challenge. Mm-hmm. And not just because it's 30 days. We were talking off air. The rules are that you have to verify employment 3 days before closing. And when you have to verify employment 3 days before closing and nobody's in the office in some of these places, it can be extremely challenging.
Yeah. There's just a couple extra steps, but those steps are sometimes easy to get checked off and sometimes they're not.
Right.
And I've, you know, talked with you at length about this and I understand and I feel your pain.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, you know, the most times it's not an issue.
Right.
You know, but the few times it is, it's just one of those challenges. But I think even that, I think that's going to be part of the help in this summer. The rules are going to change back.
Right.
You know, as the economy gets back to going, you know, we've had incredible amounts of first time filings for unemployment. We're like 40, just under four, or just over 40 million people. Mm-hmm. But our actual unemployment rate, because a lot of those people have been able to go back to work, our actually unemployment rate looks like it's going to come in about 20.1% something, or 20.1 million. But the real rate is more in line. It's going to be less than that. It's exaggerated right now. It's going to be more in line with we're guessing 17 million to 18. Not that that's not a huge number,
right?
But it's a far cry from 40 million.
Yeah.
And so all those people are back, which means the market, those people are back at work. There isn't anything in sight that would indicate that there's going to be any more issue.
Right.
So the pent-up demand, they obviously, while you're not working, you can't go buy a house.
Right.
So the pent-up demand, people have been waiting, that would have bought, all those people who would have bought in the spring didn't. All the people who normally buy in the summer are going to buy, and all the people who are going to buy in the spring, are the vast majority of them, they're probably going to be buying.
Right.
And then the first-time home buyers, they're out in force. Are you seeing that?
Yes. I mean, the first-time home buyers are definitely out, as are a lot of buyers. Like I said, you know, it is very lopsided now with the supply and demand, which is leading to the lower days on market, higher sales price, you know, the increase in values that we've discussed. But if I was a first-time home buyer and I was ready to buy my first home, it wouldn't slow me down.
No.
There's still opportunity and it's still an exciting time.
Can you give people how they can get a hold of you for their real estate needs?
Jeremy Page, Carpenter Realtors. Cell phone is 317-413-5311. Email jpage, P-A-G-E, @callcarpenter.com.
Excellent. If you need any mortgage information or would like to get pre-approved or maybe look at a refinance, please feel free to contact me. Easiest way is hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it and have a great weekend.